Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation, to the Bob Benyart Live Telethon. During our telethon, we're offering a free gift, Bob's video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, when you become a new subscriber to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Benyart Live shows every month. By becoming a new subscriber to any of Bob's monthly products, making a new monthly donation of $20 or more, or a one-time donation of $50, you'll receive the video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, free of charge, special for the Bob Benyart Live Telethon.
One morning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. If I mention the name Mark Crutcher, would you know who I'm talking about? Well, of course, he's the founder of Life Dynamics. He's the producer of the groundbreaking documentary Ma'afa 21, which has been shown on Denver television and at film festivals and on TV and in theaters all over the country. He's the creator of the Blackman Wall, the women killed by abortion. He's the author of Lyme 5. I'll tell you, when I read that years ago, it is an extremely hard-hitting expose of the abortion industry, including, and this is so shocking, shouldn't be surprising, but it was, documenting the epidemic of sexual assault committed by abortionists molesting their own patients in the abortion clinic. Mark Crutcher, lead investigator who ran the undercover sting operation documenting Planned Parenthood and hundreds of abortion clinics nationwide, systematically failing to report, as required by law, suspected underage child rape, helping child molesters get away with their crime, even repeating their crime, by telling the pregnant young girls to keep their mouths shut. That's what the abortion clinic told the girls. Don't tell anybody about the age of the man who had sex with you. And further, by aborting the child, then they were burying the evidence. Mark Crutcher has a cameo appearance on American Right to Life's documentary, focused on the strategy. And now Mark Crutcher of Life Dynamics has produced another stunning research report. Mark Crutcher, welcome back to Bob Benyart Live.
Well, thank you, Bob. How are you?
Well, I'm thrilled, Mark, that you're on the show. You've been one of my heroes, and I don't know where you get the energy, the vision, the resources to continue, but boy, I'm glad I'm not on the other side of Mark Crutcher's war.
I'm glad you're not on the other side either, because then that way we'll get to spend some time in heaven discussing all this one day.
That's exactly right. You know, I wonder what people, Christians, who really don't live their lives serving the Lord, they watch sports, watch TV, go to work, come home. I wonder what they're going to talk about in heaven. I mean, being in the battle gives us so many opportunities to develop eternal memories and things that we'll be able to fellowship over forever.
Yeah, I don't imagine there'll be a lot of discussion about the Denver Broncos or the Dallas Cowboys.
No, maybe Tim Tebow, but that's about it.
That's another issue.
Yes. So, Mark, could you tell us about your latest research report, which I read while I was in a legislative hearing 2 weeks ago at the Capitol in Denver, getting ready to testify, because it had to do with violence, abortion violence, is far more than what we think about normally.
Yes, you know, and Bob, I know you've had this experience. You tell somebody you're pro-life or you're involved in the pro-life effort, and inevitably, in order to diminish you, what they will do is say, oh, you're one of those people that shoot abortionists, or you're one of those people who thinks it's okay to bomb abortion clinics or whatever.
Right.
And this is a way that the American people, and particularly the pro-aborts, it's a method they've used, they've come up with, to diminish what you and I do,
right,
and to discount us and to make us appear as kooks and so forth.
Right.
Now, I want people to understand, we're not talking about the violence that's done to the unborn child. That's not the subject of this discussion.
Right.
We all understand what that's all about.
Yeah.
But let's just talk about violence against born people only. One of the hidden, dirty little secrets in the abortion industry that we've known about for many, many years is the number of women in this country who are killed for refusing to have abortions, or beaten up, or put in a nursing home, or put in a wheelchair, or left in a permanent vegetative state. Mm-hmm. And we've been researching this issue now for quite some time and decided to issue this report, Under the Radar Violence in the Conflict Over Abortion. We had such a voluminous amount of information that we restricted this report only to women who were killed. And we didn't even include all of them. We just put 80 sample cases in this report. This is a subject that, as I document in this report, that the abortion industry has been well aware of. They discuss it at their national meetings, this issue of the fact that a certain number of the women, and a significant number of the women, that are sitting in their waiting rooms are there against their will, under the threat of being killed or being beat up if they don't have abortions.
And we've seen that, Mark Crutcher, here at Bob and Yurt Live. We've been on the air for 20 years, 5 days a week, on Colorado's most powerful radio station, AM 670 KLTT. Throughout that time, I have been going occasionally to our local Planned Parenthood abortion mill, but we have church members from Denver Bible Church, led by Ken and Joe Scott, Leslie Hanks, and really so many others, Scott Evans, Doug McBurney, the list goes on, who go to the abortion clinics, some of them every day, for 25 years. I've seen with my own eyes, they can report hundreds of instances where women get out of the car in tears. They're almost convulsing in tears, like they have to be picked up and brought into the abortion clinic, women who don't want to be there, but either their father or a boyfriend or a husband has said, either you're going to have this abortion or you're out on the street. We have talked to women, we've ministered to women in that exact situation, and all Planned Parenthood does is pull them into the clinic, take their $650, and abort the child.
Absolutely. And what you have to understand is we've got 80 cases that we put into this report. And that's just a small part of the total number of cases we had. And we used 80 for a very particular reason. There have been 8 abortion clinic employees killed in the 40 years since this battle started. Despite the fact that the abortion industry wants to paint this picture of you and I as being gun-toting, bomb-making, you know, firebomb-throwing lunatics, there's been 8 people killed at abortion clinics in 40 years. That's 1 every 5 years.
8 people. And, Mark, that's documented at AmericanRightToLife.org/vigilante. There is a vigilante worksheet there that explains to pro-lifers why it's wrong to kill an abortionist. And those 8 are documented, specifically the dates, the locations, what their roles were, who killed them. And if anyone is wondering, why do so many pro-lifers oppose the killing of abortionists, I strongly urge them to go to AmericanRightToLife.org.com and see the vigilante worksheet, and you'll find out biblically why it's wrong for us to take the law into our own hands and go ahead and kill abortionists or security guards or receptionists or politicians who advocate abortion and so on. But you're right, there have been 8 in all these years who have been killed by what I would call pro-life extremists.
And the point of this article is that we put 80, 10 to 1, women who've been killed for refusing to have abortions.
Oh, my.
And the thing that we need to understand here is that these women are just the tip of the iceberg, because the vast majority of women who are threatened with their life unless they have an abortion are going to go along with that abortion. That's just human nature. You're not going to risk your life. If somebody puts a gun to your head and says, give me your money, you're going to give your money. So what we know is that these 80 women who we've documented in this case, and the cases, I'm sure, as you know, are horrific.
I've read the report. This report is Under the Radar Violence in the Conflict Over Abortion, written by Mark Crutcher, President, Life Dynamics Incorporated. And you've had researchers. They've done a phenomenal job. And the cases are horrific. Each one, this personal, heart-wrenching case of a woman obviously terrified because the man who impregnated her was enraged that she would not kill the child.
There's a couple of points we need to make here. First off, as I document in this, the abortion lobby knows that this is a problem, and they've talked about it in some of their meetings. The second thing is that you're not going to tell me that if you put me across the table counseling a woman who is under the duress of having her life threatened unless she has an abortion, you're not going to tell me I can't pick that up, that her demeanor, her body language,
right,
everything about her is going to give that away.
Right.
So they can play all they want to like they don't know this is going on. They're lying. They know exactly what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is they don't care. And here's the thing that I want to bring up. Every time one of these abortionists gets shot, the pro-aborts go absolutely berserk. And we end up, and we've seen this every single time this has happened, we end up with congressional hearings, new federal laws passed, RICO statutes that were designed to go after the mafia being used against pro-life protesters. I don't think most of your audience probably knows that there have been times when the United States Justice Department put federal marshals at every abortion clinic in this country after one of these things happened.
Mm.
And the list goes on and on of the things that they will do, how far they will bend over backwards to protect these abortionists, almost all of whom are male. Now, my question is this. Why do those men count and these women don't?
Mm.
This is something that's going on every day in abortion clinics all over this country. The abortion lobby knows it's going on, and they're not doing a thing about it.
Mm.
These women get murdered. They get beat up. If you looked at just the cases we had that we didn't include in here about women being put in nursing homes or being put in wheelchairs for the rest of their life or being put in permanent vegetative states for the rest of their life for refusing to have abortions, you'd know that this is a massive problem in our country that the abortion industry is fully aware of because they're the ones who deal with these women. And they're doing nothing about it. And again, I ask the question, why is it that all these male abortionists count and these women do not count? And it's a perfect example, Bob, of why the early feminists in this country, the Susan B. Anthonys and Virginia Woodhulls and Elizabeth Cady Stanton's and Evelyn Judge, who wrote the Equal Rights Amendment, this is a perfect example of what they were saying, which was that you have to understand, almost all of these women, these early feminists, were pro-life, not only because they knew that they recognized that abortion was the murder of a child, but because they said that legalized abortion is something that profits sexually irresponsible and sexually predatory males.
Mm.
And this is a manifestation of that problem. What we've identified here in this report is what happens when these sexually predatory and sexually irresponsible males use abortion as a safety net. What happens when the women they impregnate refuse to jump into the net? What do they do? And this is what they do.
So this is the tip of the iceberg of one of the ways that women are being harmed because abortion is used as a weapon against them by these men. And Mark Crutcher, when you say that the abortion lobby is aware of this, here in Denver, Planned Parenthood built what was at the time the largest abortion facility in the country in our backyard. And the very first meeting they had there was an effort to brainstorm how to oppose the personhood movement. And believe it or not, well, people listen to this show, they know they believe it. We recorded that meeting. We recorded that meeting. We had the opportunity, it was a two-hour meeting, to analyze it, to figure out where their weaknesses were. You have reported in this Under the Radar Violence research, you've reported that you have acquired tape recordings of the National Abortion Federation of their conventions in which they discuss women being forced to have abortions. They know this is a problem. How would you characterize their conversations and their attitude toward this problem?
Well, it's very interesting. They will make a faint effort acting like they're concerned about this. But when they continue the conversation, it almost inevitably gets to the point where they say, well, it's not really our business why they're there. We're just simply there to provide the service that they want. And we even have heard these conversations where these people will say things like, you know, it's all about choice. And yes, she may be coerced or forced or threatened into having the abortion, but ultimately it's her decision. And so it still falls under that heading of choice. And it is almost frightening to listen to these people because basically what they're saying is, it's like a man grabs a woman off the street, puts a gun to her head, and forces her to have sex with him. And it's like they were saying, well, that's not rape because in the end, she did agree. She did go along with it.
Yeah, she could have bit him. She could have screamed. She could have
clawed him. Or she could have let him shoot her.
She could have let him shoot her, right. So it was her decision. That is the misogynistic attitude toward women. Like in your book, Lime 5, when you document all the abortionists, and that was shocking. I mean, that was early in my pro-life activist career, Mark, when I read that. And I'm sure you're one of the three or four figures who helped to galvanize me in this battle. But to see all these abortionists in city after city who were charged with sexually assaulting their own patients. I mean, what are the chances that one narrow medical field would have that kind of a characterization, abortionists sexually molesting their own patients?
We're doing a new research project on that issue that we'll be releasing here before too long. But we can now document, and I know this sounds so outrageous that people are going to think I'm nuts, but I'm not.
Yeah.
We can document that thousands of women have been raped in abortion clinics, literally thousands of them. I can just give you one example. We were going after a guy in Arizona for many years that we had had several of his clients tell us that he raped them. His name was Brian Finkel. Mm. He was an abortionist in Phoenix. Finally, he was indicted. They got enough evidence on him to indict him because some of his employees came forward and confirmed what some of the victims were saying. When this woman went forward with the indictment and it got into the news, 106 additional women came forward to say that he had raped them at the abortion clinic. Now, I was working with the Sex Crimes Department division in the Phoenix Police Department because we had information about this guy that we were turning over to them. The woman that was the head of that department at the time, and she may still be there for all I know, but she told me that given the statistics that the Justice Department and the FBI know, that based on those statistics, if 106 women came forward...
Right, because it's a fraction of the percentage who were actually victimized, the assault.
She said it was probably no more than 6%, and that the reality is that in his 20 years, he had probably raped in excess of 1,000 women.
And
this one man.
And this is one abortionist out of... Do you recall the number of cases? It was dozens who were documented in Lime 5 of abortionists who had been charged, not just accused, charged with raping or sexually assaulting their own patients.
I don't remember the actual number, but we're updating that file right now, and we're going to be releasing a new report on this sometime in the future.
Oh, I have it right here. I just found it in your current report. 30 abortionists documented.
Yeah, there was
more
than
30. Years ago, right.
Yeah. And we've got a lot of new ones that we haven't updated so far. But
yeah.
It
was more than 30. You're right. It says here, more than 30 that you documented in your book at that time.
And of those 30, we could document that several thousand women had been raped just by those guys.
Mm-hmm.
The reality here is that, you know, you and I are always called murderers because every time one of these people shoots one of these abortionists, they hang that around all of us.
Right.
And I challenge these pro-aborts. If you want me to take responsibility for all of the 8 abortionists that have been shot, then you're going to have to take responsibility for the thousands of women who've been raped.
Who've been raped, and then all the women who've been murdered that are known because they wouldn't have an abortion.
Exactly.
We went to Colorado's Attorney General's office, Colorado Right to Life, Vice President Leslie Hanks, Sidewalk Counselor Joe Scott, and I went there. And we brought, Mark, your evidence from your undercover research project where we played for them audio recordings of abortion clinic workers, including from Planned Parenthood abortion mills, telling young girls, don't tell anyone how old the man was who impregnated you. That's a crime. Keep your mouth shut, or even call back and don't tell anybody your name or their name. Certainly don't tell them the age of the man. What they're doing is, for one, they're violating the law because there is mandatory reporting of suspected child sexual assault. But also they're literally telling these girls, keep your mouth shut. Don't let anyone know that a sexual predator is victimizing a 13 or 14-year-old girl.
That's right. And now, since that time, Bob, when you did that, we have now put all 813 tapes that we made online. You can go to childpredators.com and listen to all the tapes in all the states. And I will tell you, this is the largest criminal conspiracy in American history. And I know that, again, sounds like an exaggeration, but I challenge anyone to go in there and listen to that information and then consider the number of abortions in this country that are done on underage girls. And we now have documentation that among girls as young as 11 to 15 years old in this country who get pregnant, 60 to 80% are impregnated by adults, not by other children. Mm. And Planned Parenthood is perfectly aware of this. The thing that is driving America's epidemic of teenage pregnancy is statutory rape. And Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation clinics that we documented in this underground project that we did, they are, in my view, they are accessories after the fact in the rapes of these children. Mm. And this is a scandal, along with this problem of women being killed because they won't have abortions, that no one and our law enforcement agencies seems to be willing to go after.
Well, no one, including a conservative, so-called conservative Republican, John Southers, here in Colorado. He's the state attorney general who we went to, played this evidence. Now, he didn't want to come into the meeting, so his underlings, who some of them have been in criminal justice here in Colorado for many years, and we played this evidence, obviously, it's horrifying for them to hear it. And one woman said, well, I've been working sex crimes in Colorado for more than 20 years. I cannot recall one instance of any abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood or otherwise, reporting suspected child sexual molestation. Not one instance. And she was in the Attorney General's office. And so we know that John Southers here, Republican, is part of this conspiracy in that there's a determination to look the other way. So they said, well, we don't have the authority to do an investigation. And we said, we know that. We're asking the Attorney General to write a letter to the sheriffs of Colorado saying that there is a systematic refusal to comply with mandatory reporting for suspected child rape. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to prosecute.
Absolutely.
And, of course, he did nothing.
Right, right. You have to remember, Bob, and I know you know this at least as well as I do, you're talking about this guy being a Republican, a conservative, pro-life, Christian, whatever he may claim to be.
Yeah.
The vast majority of these people, their commitment to this cause is rhetorical at best. When push comes to shove, they will back down.
Right.
And that's the problem we have. That's why we have an epidemic now of statutory rape in this country that is driving this teen pregnancy problem that we have. And these law enforcement people won't do a thing about it, even when you bring them clear-cut evidence of right. what the problem is.
Right. I was standing outside of Planned Parenthood with a local captain of the police department and another officer, female officer, and a pregnant girl got out of a car. Mark, she looked like she was 13, and she was going into Planned Parenthood to have an abortion. And I said to these police officers, in fact, Flip Benham, one of the leaders of Operation Rescue National, was there. And of all things, I don't know if you remember this, Mark, years ago, Flip Benham went across the country with a horse and a donkey.
Right.
And he came through Denver, Colorado, And he was there. And so was the horse and the donkey.
Okay.
And I said to this woman and this captain, I said, that girl, you see her, she can't be more than 13. She's being brought here by that guy. There is reason to believe that a child was sexually assaulted. You're a police officer. You need to go and talk to that child. This cop, she said to me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a ticket right now for this horse eating the grass. This is Denver City and County grass. That horse, there's no right for that horse to eat this grass. I'm going to write a ticket for that horse. That was one of the times in my life I became enraged at this woman. Just enraged.
This whole child sexual abuse thing is enough to make anyone enraged. You'd have to be just completely brain dead not to become enraged about this stuff. The problem is law enforcement in this country, to a large degree, has jumped into bed with Planned Parenthood and with the rest of the abortion clinics, and they know good and well that what you were telling them about that child was absolutely correct. They were mandated by state law to go intervene in that situation, because you have to understand, that girl was demonstrating that she was sexually active by being pregnant, right?
Exactly.
She cannot, if she's beneath the state's age of consent, she cannot give permission to be sexually active. Therefore, that is automatically on its face evidence of child sexual abuse. Mm. It's not proof of it, but it's evidence that a reasonable person can see.
Right.
They were mandated to go investigate that situation, but as you described, they chose not to.
Right, exactly. This is happening, and Mark, I have listeners who are Christian, pro-life, conservative, and they get upset with me because they think I'm too extreme in my criticism of our politicians and leaders who really mostly want to just go along to get along, continue to raise funds, continue to have their careers and their influence, and get elected and reelected, when if they will not take it seriously that a child has a God-given right to life, if they're willing to compromise or look the other way, they are the problem. They need to get out of the way, because we're not going to stop child killing until we make it very uncomfortable for the so-called pro-lifers who give us lip service.
You know, you and I and our ilk are just going to have to continue hammering away on this, because I don't think there's anything that is more powerful in a situation like this than persistence. Mm. We have to be persistent.
Yeah. Well, it's happening. The personhood movement has exploded all over the country, and certainly the tension over child killing is increasing. No child killing with tranquility is our slogan here at Bob and Yurt Live. And Mark, you are a key asset in the battle to protect children. So thank you, Mark Crutcher. What an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Bob, and call me again sometime.
All right, will do. That's Mark Crutcher at Life Dynamics, and his latest report is just stunning, Under the Radar Violence. I highly recommend it. God bless you.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society, but it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.